Good morning. When I was at seminary, there was a professor I had, U.S. World Missions, and his name was Dr. Wilson. And one day, Dr. Wilson told us a story when he was a missionary in Afghanistan. And he said it was springtime, and the individuals who lived in the mountain couldn't make it down into the into where he was. And so in the springtime, a lot of them would come down because of illness. So one day, he said, one of them came to him and said, "Dr. Wilson, I went to the hospital. I need to get into the hospital, but there's no beds. Do you know anyone who can help me get into the hospital?" And he said, "Yes, I know the owner." He said, "You do?" And he was excited. He knew the owner. He said, "Well," he said, "how can you talk to him?" He said, "I'll talk to him right now." The guy was thrilled. And he said, "Let's pray." And he goes, "Father, you own all things. You own that hospital. The Lord provide the man a bed." And he sent the guy away. And a few hours later, he came back and said, "There was a bed, and it was still warm." But my point is that, you know, this gentleman, Dr. Wilson, his mind was set on prayer. His mind was set on that relationship. And no matter what he ran into, he would think about prayer. If he was on a trip, students would say if he came back from a trip, the first thing you do in the airport was to, "Let's kneel down and pray and thank God for the safety." You know, and if you walked up to Dr. Wilson, you said, "Dr. Wilson, I need, I'm struggling with this. Could you pray?" He said, "Okay, let's pray right now." He didn't care where it was. And how often, when people ask you to, "Would you pray for this?" "Sure." And then what? We forget about it. When he was asked for prayer, "Now's the time to do it. We're not going to waste any time. Let's go to the Father. He owns all things. What are we waiting for?" And we need to learn to do that with prayer. We need to learn to become just very conscious of that, relationship we have with the Father, and to be willing and to talk to him at any time, day or night. I want you to listen to some scriptures concerning prayer. I don't want you to think about them because they refer to us. This is what God has expected of us. First one, Colossians 4:2. This is a command. And you think about how often we take these commands sometimes and just lay them aside. This is a command. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Again, another command. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you ever wonder what God's will for you is, there's three things right here. You are to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks. God's will. And we take it sometimes. You read that. I've heard that before. How often has it sunk in that this is what God expects of you and I as his children? Romans 12:2, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. Luke 18:1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always. Matthew 6, Jesus, he wasn't thinking or encouraging you to pray. He expected us to pray. He said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full." And then he goes on, "When you pray, close your door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And again, the third time, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." But he still expects us to ask him. When you pray, not if, but when. Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And Philippians 4, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything what? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then James, part of James chapter 4, verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. You know, that should be part of our life. You know, hearing these verses should lead us to what? To pray. But it also should cause us in many ways to reflect upon. Because it says, you know, devote yourselves to prayer. You think about it, you go, have I devoted myself to prayer? What have I devoted myself to? Lord, then you turn that into a prayer. Lord, I got other things in the way. Prayer isn't so important in my life. Enable me to devote myself to prayer. Cause me to think about you more than I am. Cause me to know that I need to be in contact and communication with you all the time. Devote myself. Lord, help me to understand what that means. So you take the verses and you flip them around and you make them a prayer. Because there's not too many verses in Scripture that we can say we absolutely 100% all the time obey. There's a few times we may mess up. So we take it and say, Lord, I didn't do it. Help me. May these verses remind me of how important prayer is to you, into our life, and to as individual and as a church, that we become and be a people of prayer. As he said, my house will be known as a house of prayer. May people know this is the place. You come, you get prayed for. We're not ashamed, not afraid, not weary, or just we're willing to go to God anytime. You have a need, we pray. Yes, but we don't, so we turn that into a prayer. Lord, help us to become that. We flip it. So when you read Scripture, there always should be this response in Scripture to praying, to make it a prayer. Because, Lord, I'm not doing what you asked me to do. Help me to do it. One of the requirements for prayer is that we come humbly. We recognize we have a need. If my people are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. We need to be humble. I didn't do it. Lord, show me how to do it. So we need to do that. Martin Luther said, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes, as it is the business of cobblers to make shoes, it is the business of Christians to pray. That's our job. The story is told of five young college students who were spending a Sunday afternoon in London many, many, many years ago. And they're standing outside waiting to go see Spurgeon preach. And they're waiting in line. Next thing you know, this gentleman came out and said, hey, would you like to see the heating plant of this church? And they said, well, this guy crazy? This is July. It's hot. Why do you want to see the heating plant? So, but they wanted to be respectful, so they went with this guy, and he brought him into the building, walked him up to a door, opened the door, and they looked in, and there's 700 people praying. That's the heating plant of the church. And that was... And they said it was Pastor Spurgeon who brought them down to show them the heating plant. Basically, you know, I can't do what I do up there without those people down there praying. The importance of that. You know, E.M. Bounds, a great writer on prayer, said, what the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men mighty of prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but he anoints men, men of prayer. We want the anointing to come down. Let's be a people of prayer, men and women who pray, who have given time over to prayer. Specific, focused time, because we'll never become what God wants us to be unless we are. Tim Keller, pastor in New York, wrote this. His wife was talking to him one day, and he said, for many years, I struggled praying with my wife. And she came up to him one day, and this is applicable to us as the church and us individually. And she said, she told him the following little story. It's an imagination, but it speaks volumes. He said, imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine. A pill every night before going to sleep. Imagine that you were told that you could never miss it or you would die. Would you forget? Would you not get around to it some nights? Well, absolutely not. You know? No, it would be so crucial that you wouldn't forget doing it. You wouldn't forget that pill. You would never miss taking that pill. Well, if we don't pray, If we don't pray to God, we're not going to make it because of all of what we're facing. You know, it's something we have got to do. He said at the very end, we have to pray. We just can't let it slip from our minds. It has got to be planted. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it's like, Lord, I need you to go with me. I need you to do that. You can, you know, I read the scriptures on prayer. I've read them. I've looked at them. And it's like, okay, good. They can be stuck up here intellectually. It's like, when will we begin to take that next step of saying, I need to spend more, you know? And you've heard the phrase, if not now, when? Oh, I'll get to prayer later. No, if not now. You know, it has to be now. And if not you, who's going to do it? Who's going to stand up and say, you know, Lord, I got to change. I need to know you. I need to know about you. I need to know your will. I need to be obedient to you. And we, and you know as well as I do, we can come up with a list of excuses, can't we? No. I don't know how to. It's not part of my life. I'm too busy. You know that one. We all are too busy. You don't know what I got to do. Let me tell you the things I got to do during the day. Well, yeah, I grant you, you are busy. It's not a matter of busyness, a matter of what? Priorities. And you know as well as I do, if prayer is one of the, if we had all label of the things we had to do, a little card, and prayer was there, where would it be in your list of priorities? It would be probably not exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it would be down there. I'll throw little prayers out here and there, you know, but the idea of spending time focused on prayer, I don't have time to do that. Yeah, we can't afford not to find the time. We can't. But we often do it. As one author said, if we want to walk consistently with God, if we want to experience the power of God in your life and in this church, we must pray. We must pray. If we want to experience the power of God in this life, in your life, in my life, in this church, we've got to pray. There's no substitute for prayer. Work is not a substitute. Programs aren't a substitute. Money is not a substitute. Education is not a substitute. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer leads to a consistent, intimate walk with God. If you don't have it, pray and ask God to direct your heart so that it may occur. It's not going to happen first. Let prayer be the springboard upon which we'll grow. Admit the fact, I'm not there. My heart doesn't even want to pray, God, you have to change me. Good, that's a beginning. I don't pray, Lord. I don't know how to. If I throw you 5 minutes, I'm pretty content with that. Lord, expand my mind. Make the fact of where you are, a prayer. Lord, bring me to where I need to be. You know how stubborn, pig-headed, mule-headed I can be. You know how much I refuse to do what you want me to do. Help me to do that. You know, we need to be broken. And who likes to be broken? No hands. I didn't think so. My hand wouldn't go up either. But God calls us. We need to be broken before him, to be humbled. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let us admit it. Spurgeon said, prayer is a tender nerve that moveth the muscle of omnipotence. Omnipotence. You know, prayer is that, and we need to do it. And you can recognize and know one thing. You know, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God. You know, recognizing you're in a war. You decide in your heart that you would like to become more of a prayerful individual, one that's going to focus in on God. You can rest assured you're going to be under attack. The last thing Satan wants is a group of people or individuals to begin to make a commitment to spend more time in prayer. It's going to happen. He doesn't want you to grow. You know, we have to deal with certain things he puts in our minds. For instance, one author said, in fact, I had this gentleman at seminary, David Wells. He said, we don't pray as we should. And one of the reasons we don't pray as we should is that we don't believe prayer will make any difference. Why bother praying, you know? This one woman, her husband had cancer. She fasted, prayed for weeks. He died. Her son said, you know, Mom, you're not praying. She said, I've given up on prayer. It doesn't work. Because, you know, it's like sad, but it was God's will. He allowed it. And she just turned off prayer because I didn't get what I want from that instance. It happens. It happens. It's one reason we need to be praying for one another, because people in the room here probably are struggling with things you don't know about, but you could lift them up in prayer. Prayer can touch things in people's lives you have no idea they're even struggling with. Prayer can go to China for the persecuted church. We can do many great things with prayer, and yet Satan will do his utter utmost to keep us away from there. Because we got things, I ain't going to do any good. But again, who are we talking to when we pray? Who is the God you think you believe in? You know, is he going to do it? Yes. Are we going to actually act upon it? Well, I'm too busy. I don't have time. It's too hard. I don't see any results. Satan working. Another reason we don't pray is I can take care of it myself. You know, I can do it. Hey, God, you can help me with that one. I can take care of that. You know, pride gets in the way. I don't need you, Lord. Yes, we do. Until we humble ourselves and say, I can't do it. What does John 15:5 say? Apart from me, you can do. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Yeah. You know, and you've heard it. I've said it. You've heard it before. If the Holy Spirit left the church, 95% of what was happening would probably continue in most churches. You know, it's one of those sayings, but it's like, that's a scary thought. You know, how much are we depending on God to do anything? Scary. And too often we don't understand who we are. You know, we have great worth apart from our performance because God has given his life for us. You know, we have great worth apart from our performance. We're deeply loved, fully pleasing, totally forgiven, accepted, complete because of what Jesus has done. May we act that way. We're a child of God. Do we feel like we're God's children who he wants us to come to him? He's calling us. We need to respond. We truly, truly need to respond. And we need to take the time to do what the disciples did. Jesus, teach us to pray. They never said, teach us to preach. They didn't say, teach us to evangelize, but teach us to pray. So may we become that people who actually seek him out and pray and learn and be willing to say, Lord, I'm not sure how to do this. You know, remember, got this one little book. This is the answer to all things. No, it's not. However, this is a book called, it's a one-year personal prayer. Sometimes you don't know how to pray or an idea. This book has, you know, people from Charles Spurgeon to Charles Wesley to Susanna Wesley prayers. Great little models of what people, how they pray. Of asking, of confessing, of seeking, of just being the people they want to be. There are so many resources out there about how to pray. It's not a matter of us not knowing how to pray. It's a matter of us being willing to begin the process of learning, of disciplining ourselves, setting aside 5 minutes. I'll get up 5 minutes earlier now, Lord, so I can spend 5 minutes in prayer. I'll struggle with it. I won't like it. It's uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it because you called me to do it. 5 minutes. Then maybe it'll stretch to 10. Maybe, you know what, it'll begin to expand. But you're going to have to begin somewhere. You know, the old journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Well, the spiritual journey begins with a step of faith. Lord, I need to do this. You know, your word says it. I've read it. I've heard sermons on prayer. And I haven't done a whole lot with them all. So teach me. Tim Keller said the following. He said, prayer is also the main way we experience deep change. The reordering of our loves. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things he has for us. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. It is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in this life. We must learn to pray. We have to individually and corporately learn how to humble ourselves before God and pray. It just got to happen. And last little story. In one region of Africa, the first converts to Christianity were very diligent about praying. In fact, the believers each had their own special little hut they would go to pray, which was outside the village. The villagers reached these prayer rooms by using their own private footpaths through the brush. When grass began to grow over one of these trails, it was evident that the person to whom it belonged was not praying as much. So it was very evident. Because these new Christians were concerned for each other's spiritual welfare, a unique custom sprang up. Whenever anyone noticed an overgrown prayer path, He or she would go to the person and lovingly warn, "Friend, there's grass growing on your path." Basically saying, "You're not praying." If we all had our own path to a spiritual place, where a place where we prayed, what would it look like? Would we need a machete to take the grass down, you know? Or just a little weed whacker taking it down? What would it be, you know? Or we wouldn't take it down at all because it's all been worn out, because we are people of prayer. We need to do that. So before we close and end, we're going to do one thing. We're going to pray. But not just me. We're, you know, it's all of us. So quietly. So I have just two things we're going to pray about quietly. First is, we're going to remain quiet. You can silently confess before God where you are. You can say, "Lord, show me, where am I spiritually when it comes to prayer? Am I one of your warriors? Or am I in the back line running the other way? You know, where am I?" And let God's Spirit show us where we are. And then I'll throw one more prayer request. But do it quietly. We're not going to ask anyone to stand up and pray. Don't sweat it. You know, but right now, just bow your heads, go before the Lord, and just ask him, "God, show me, where am I? And what do I need to do?" Now, I want you to just look around you. Who's sitting on the same pew with you or behind you? The scripture calls us to pray for one another. So we're going to pray for those on your pew and behind you. And you can pray scripture, which is a great way to pray, because sometimes you don't know how to pray for someone. Take a verse of scripture and pray it for them. 2 Peter 3:18. And Peter's talking, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ." So pray that those around you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. They may desire to grow, that they may grow and they come to know. So you can see the people around you or behind you. Just pray for them right now, quietly. Or if you feel so led, do it verbally. It's no problem, but pray. Father, you've called us to pray for one another. You've called us to keep on praying for all the saints. So, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would be upon each individual sitting in this room. That by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, you would fill them. You would enable them and give them desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to truly seek him out, to come to understand who he is and what he has done. You want us to grow. You don't want us to remain as we were, so that we might become all that you have desired us to be. And we need to grow in the grace, to receive the grace, to understand the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Cause us to want to know, what that means, want to know who Jesus is, to continually, Father, seek, to yearn, to make every effort to come to know him, and in knowing him, knowing you. So may that occur in our lives. Help us to make today defining moment. We're at a crossroads. We're going to go, Father, and we're going to seek you out. Show us the way. Humble us and show us the way. I thank you for each individual here. May your Spirit be on them. Bless them. Draw them to you. Cause them to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus for your honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Now we need to go pray, right? Yes.